You're talking garbage. This guy comes out 280 pounds, and all of a sudden, everybody in Boston is standing up and cheering and talking about Hulkamania. Hot Rod walks out, and all of a sudden, everybody's booing, thinking Hot Rod ain't going to stand no chance. After all, Hot Rod, he's the only guy. All he's ever done was actually destroy Jimmy Snuka, a legend. All he's ever done is actually destroy Andre the Giant. Unless someone was to sucker me, they could never get an even shot at me. I bounced the world on my little fingertips. And then all of a sudden, Hot Rod goes into Boston, and he becomes victorious. I actually beat the champion, but no, you don't want to give me the belt. No, no, let me tell you something, mister. I am the boss. I'm the one that's going back in there for the rematch. Not because I won it, because the champion won it, because I made him look like a fool. They raised my hand. I'm the first man to ever beat the champion. I am the champion, Boston.
Thank you very much. Rowdy Piper.
Okay, hi. Welcome to Jumping Nothing. Carl is here. Normally he'd be doing this, but he's desperately hungover.
Yes.
Not looking well at all. I'm staring across the table at him. He's not happy.
2 hours late.
Yeah, 2 hours late. But we'll forgive him for that. He's such a sort of sympathetic looking figure right now. But we're here anyway, back after the wee break. And this week, we had intended to just go right into Hulk Hogan. Talk about Hulk Hogan, his legacy, why he's such a dick, what makes him a dick. But we're a few hours after learning that Rowdy Roddy Piper has also, well, not also died. Hulk Hogan might have figuratively died a certain death.
Yeah.
But Rowdy Roddy Piper has actually died. That's pretty sad. So we're going to try and talk a little bit about Piper and their careers kind of parallel each other. And Piper had a harder time of it, came out of it not a dick. Hogan had a very easy time, came out a whopper dick.
Yes.
So there's some sort of, if Carl was doing this, he'd have a more elegant thesis to offer us. But I think that's how we're going to do it this week.
It's just going to be called Hulk Hogan is a dick.
I guess so. Hulk Hogan is a dick, comma, others less so.
Roddy Piper, not a dick.
Yeah.
That's
brackets,
that's
but dead.
Yeah, but dead.
Oh, yeah, that's Carl. I'd say hi to the people, Carl.
Hi, people.
Yeah, Carl's here too. Carl's not hungover.
No.
He's just a bit dejected looking right now. Are you okay?
Yeah, just sad about Roddy Piper.
Maybe we should start off. Tell the people what you were telling me earlier about going to the gym this morning. In your...
What? Oh, yeah, okay. So I went to the gym this morning. I didn't know that Roddy Piper had died. But I was wearing a Hot Rod Roddy Piper t-shirt, and someone came up to me and said, "Oh man, Roddy Piper, I'm so sorry." And I said, "What?" And he goes, "Can I use this machine when you're finished?" And I said, "Yeah." And then he goes, "Roddy Piper died last night." And then I had to go home and read all about it. It was really sad, really ruined the rest of my gym.
Yeah.
Tragic way to find out. Mm-hmm. You're trying to get swollen.
But you're just sort of, you're just repping Roddy Piper as you'd usually do on a Saturday.
Yeah.
And you know. Find this out.
Who doesn't?
Just coincidence that Roddy Piper had died on the day that you wore the t-shirt.
Yeah, I probably have maybe 4 or 5 t-shirts that I wear to the gym. So at least once every week or so, I rep Roddy Piper.
Has anyone ever worn a Hulk Hogan t-shirt?
Nope.
No.
Yeah.
Although I do sometimes listen to his theme music, which is really good.
It is really good, yeah. Mm. That's one thing I want to talk about if we're talking about Hulk Hogan. I talk about this a lot, but Hulk Hogan's theme music literally says, "I am a real American." Everybody's pointing at Hogan and being like, "This is the alpha American classical hero. This is what he looks like." But he looks weird. It's like people have this block in their memory because of the way he's sort of inculcated himself into pop culture, about the fact that he's got that long wispy white hair. Like, even when he was in his early 30s at the top of wrestling, he was almost completely bald on top with like weird bleached wispy hair and a crazy mustache and like an extremely protuberant forehead.
Yeah,
how did he manage to become like one of the most popular men in the world?
Yeah, literally the answer is Vince McMahon's a weird fucking guy. And this is what he thinks human beings actually look like. But even, like, I was watching some footage of Roddy Piper from territory, from a variety of territories in the early 80s, late 70s. And there was a period like when the Von Erichs were really popular. They like wrestlers looked like actual like men, yeah. like well built men, like with the kind of hair that handsome men of the late '70s would have. I don't know how to describe it on that, but they looked like normal fucking people. But then Hulk Hogan comes along, and he looks like a, he kind of looks like a really buff, old Chinese like kung fu master from a racist kung fu movie of the '70s. Yeah, and he kind of changes. Now every wrestler has to look like a freaky man.
Yeah.
But then Roddy looked like a normal, handsome, well-built man. He wasn't super ripped, but he's a big, strapping, like lumberjack-looking yeah, man.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's what you want. If you live in Oregon, like your ideal man is somebody on the lumberjack spectrum. Along comes Roddy Piper, you'd be delighted. Along comes Hulk Hogan. What the what is this thing?
Who is that? Yeah, there's no relatable moment at all. He doesn't even look like the big muscly biker or whatever. He doesn't look like a human being
yeah.
that exists in the real world at all.
And he doesn't look like what he was meant to be, which is this sort of, you know, Californian douchebag.
Yeah.
He looks unnaturally aged at every point of his career.
Like, Hulk Hogan's gimmick, as well as being an American, is being a surfer, right? Or like a surf type guy.
A Californian sort of, yeah, like a surfer who's playing the electric guitar on a surfboard surfer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are things about Hogan's character don't make any sense. Like these among them. But like air guitar and bandanas and stuff are just blatantly not cool. Yet how was he so popular?
Oh, they were cool in like 1983 though.
Like, but even that guy doing those cool things?
But I think it's like that sort of weird mechanism in wrestling in which once something gets over, that thing is like frozen in time as over forever.
Mm.
Like, it doesn't actually have to remain relevant or cool anymore.
Mm.
It was really uncool, though. Or it looks really uncool now.
Well, I don't have anything to say about Hulk Hogan. I just never found him very reliable with his integrity. You know, I think I can say he's somebody that, made sure my career stopped.
Do we like Hulk Hogan? Like, have we enjoyed the matches of Hulk Hogan?
Well,
No. I've never seen a Hulk Hogan match that I've ever enjoyed. Like, not even a little bit.
I guess I quite enjoyed Hogan Andre, I have to say. I think that's a kind of a very simple match. But a cool match. Maybe I'm just caught up in the hype.
But that's part of it. Like, it's not... This is 80s wrestling.
Yeah.
I enjoyed Hogan Andre yeah. as well.
The
only ways I can enjoy it, like, looking back, is thinking of them as cultural events. So whether that's Hogan Andre or Hogan Rock or something like that kind of thing. Go, oh, okay, that's interesting because it happened. But the actual wrestling...
Yeah.
It's pathetic and... Like, the stories aren't enjoyable that they tell in the ring. It's all about the stories outside the ring, usually.
Yeah, I mean, his best stuff was... his best, like, story was Hogan and Savage, I think. The Mega Powers. That, over the course of that year, that was a very kind of restrained sort of story. And the match at the end of it was okay. Like, it is literally the kind of... they're telling a story for a while, and then... Macho gets the elbow and Hogan just pops up and shakes his head and sweats and wins. Yeah. And so that, to that extent, I was like, well, could you not have come up with something a little bit more memorable for that? But at the same time, I'm like, you know, this is the Mega Powers exploding. And I watched all those pay-per-views and I watched all the wrestling from that year and it was good. And there was a lot of other stuff on the card and you really got the sense, this is a good year of things happening in wrestling. And that just kind of carries the match. And maybe that's all of Hogan. Rock Hogan is also really good. But like it's carried because Hogan pops up and does his Hulk Hogan stuff. But he's Hollywood Hogan. But now he's Hulk Hogan. Mm. And The Rock's a young guy. And he's an old guy.
Well, we should stress why we're talking about Hogan in general today. Because he's in the news. Because he is suing Gawker for $100 million. Because they published an edited... short version of a video of him having sex with Bubba the Love Sponge's his wife with Bubba the Love Sponge there. So in the course of that trial, Gawker demanded to be shown all the other shit the FBI had discovered about Hulk Hogan that may relate to sex tapes or other such things. In that, there was a recording of Hulk Hogan being a big racist about how he doesn't want his daughter to sleep with black men, basically. And then that somehow found its way to MediaTakeout.com. Almost, don't want Gawker to sue me for saying they leaked it. But it's not unlikely that Gawker leaked that. So now Hogan is still suing Gawker for $100 million for putting up a sex tape of him. But it's like very unpopular in the world as a figure right now. Mm.
This is why you host the show, Carl. Because you got all of the Hulk Hogan sex tape lore in there. Like me and Cahill, while we were waiting for you for 2 hours, we're like, what actually happened? I don't know. We've heard it's a race thing. Can we get the audio? Yeah. And that was very impressive, Carl.
In comparison with that, Roddy Piper died. That's it.
Yeah. Just straight up. Just died.
Yeah, so for all of these things that are happening, Piper is dead and Hogan is alive. But will Hogan kill himself?
It does feel like Hogan's going to be alive forever.
I think so, yeah.
Michael's nightmare that Hogan will be like 89 and he'll have a New York Times obituary after everybody else.
Yeah, he'll be right. He'd be 89 and the New York Times will be reaching out to him saying, would you write an obituary for whom you've said to me is your former best friend, Bret the Hitman Hart. like this is the other thing. Last night, Hulk Hogan releases a statement. In it, verbatim says, he was my best friend with regards to Rowdy Roddy Piper. Just a lie. Just not true in the slightest.
Well, Hulk Hogan lies a lot. Take us through some of the top lies of Hulk Hogan.
Okay, through 5 minutes of Googling, he's the most infamous lie, of course, is all the lies surrounding the match with Andre. The idea that he tore every muscle in his back while slamming Andre at the end of the match. This isn't just him passingly saying in an interview. He wrote this, or his ghostwriter wrote it for him in his book. He wants this on record. He tore every muscle in his back and had to spend a month in a cast or some crap after this. But the better part of the bullshit around that match, you see, that's kind of that's a lie I think you could kind of get away with, because wrestling's a carny business. So I'd kind of if it wasn't Hulk Hogan, I'd find it charming. I wrestled this guy and I fucking broke 15 bones in my knee or whatever the fuck it is. That I'd be okay with. But then the sort of lie has expanded over the years, and he's kind of come out and said, yeah, I wasn't sure what was going to happen in that match with Andre. Wasn't sure Andre was going to do the honors for me. And we got into that match and I felt like Andre testing me. He was shooting on me a little bit, but I hung in there with Andre and I earned his respect. And at the very end, he was slam me, brother, I think is the quote. Slam me, brother, take it home.
Take it home.
Yeah, and that's how he went through and he earned his spot in that match with Andre. Just a lie. Andre had been putting them over house shows and stuff countless times for years. They'd wrestled before on pay-per-view and it was it's verifiably wrong. But the reason that lie is so much more egregious is because he's lying about the attitude of somebody else who's dead and can't come out and say, yeah, that didn't happen.
So at the start of this list, we've got... we started with the most recent lie of Piper being his best friend. Is this just a series of him lying about dead people?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of that.
Oh, that guy thought that about me. But he's dead, so, he's just going to have to
do it. There is quite a lot of that. There's also the lie that came out after Macho Man died, that the Mega Powers, to some extent, was a shoot. When they were fighting backstage, I think it was at the Royal Rumble that year when they broke up. The tag team broke up because Hogan was getting too... Or Hogan carried Elizabeth to the back after some match.
Mm.
And Macho went mad.
That is not just Hogan who suggests that was a shoot.
Yeah.
Because Savage was insane.
Well, that's how people get away with it. But Elizabeth is laughing. she's infamously laughing at the breakup because it's so contrived. If you watch it... don't be buying this shit, Carl. What's going on? You're too gullible. You're too naive and innocent. Okay. It was plain bollocks. They had clearly set up, it was the most contrived piece of, filming they'd done. Elizabeth is sort of combination laughing and trying to improvise and just saying, no, guys, don't fight. It's okay, I'm all right. And then they're struggling for lines because they hadn't scripted it properly. Like, it's plain bollocks. It is just bollocks. But Macho Man is dead and can't be like, no. We worked it out. And it actually wasn't very good, but, you know, this people like it.
Everyone's going to die before Hogan, and Hogan will ultimately just have control. It'll be Hogan and Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
They will both be, like, 120 and 105, respectively, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they will have control of history.
Yeah.
Because everyone else is dead.
But, like, after Bret... Like, the reason I brought up Bret Hart earlier, my fear is Bret Hart dies. For a few reasons. Bret Hart being my favourite person.
Yeah.
But if Bret Hart dies, imagine the Hogan lie, WrestleMania 9. I was actually just coming out there to check on Bret. And Bret was like, listen, man, I wasn't happy with that match. You go get him back, brother. You get in there. And I talked to Yoko. And Yoko was like, yeah, no, absolutely, man. I can see where you're coming from. Yeah. Slam me, brother. Give me the leg drop.
Ric Flair dies. What does Hogan say?
Ric Flair dies. Blames Ric Flair for the match never happening at WrestleMania 8. And then... or maybe it's some bullshit like, oh no, Ric Flair was like, you gotta come over to WCW, man. We're really struggling here. We need a Hulk Hogan to kind of pull it out of the fire. Maybe that's the lie.
So what other lies have you got on your list of lies?
Well, yeah, I mean, I found shout out to Uproxx. I know people have... I think we've given Brandon Stroud shit in this before. Or at least we have privately. Shots fired, Brandon Stroud. But I like the website he works for. Top of the list on that website, on that this article that I wrote about Hulk Hogan's lies. Hulk Hogan claims that Elvis was a fan of his.
Now, also dead?
Also dead, but also makes... absolutely no sense as far as the timelines go. Yeah. It is not possible that Elvis saw Hulk Hogan. Like, when did Elvis die? Late 70s? Let me quickly Google that.
I think it was late 70s, yes.
Yeah. Hogan only started wrestling in like 76 or 77, didn't he?
Yeah.
So Elvis would have had to have seen Hulk Hogan at like a small territory show.
Yeah, in like Florida or Alabama or somewhere.
Yeah, and been like... yeah, Terry the Bowler Bollea.
Yeah.
It's fucking awesome.
Elvis didn't die going, oh wow, Hulk Hogan was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Elvis Presley died in August of 1977.
Right. So before that is when this would have had to happen.
So Terry was still working at a gym in Florida.
Yeah.
But maybe Elvis saw him in the gym and that's what he meant by fan.
Yeah, maybe the lie should be Elvis saw him like... just working in a gym mopping up or whatever. He's like, listen, I think you can make it in the world of professional wrestling. And that's how he got into it. Anyway, the other big lie I saw on that list was that he, and I've heard this before, that he could have been the new replacement bass player for Metallica.
That's just the stupidest claim ever. They're not dead.
Oh well, that's the because the who's the drummer for Metallica, that bloke
Lars Ulrich.
Yeah, he came out and was like, this is not true, I have never met Hulk Hogan. I want nothing to do with Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan foolishly like misgoogled and thought they were dead. Yeah. It's like, oh, I'll be able to get some shine off this.
Yeah, but like, and there's some other like here's another strategy, right? So he claims that he took Bret, after Owen Hart died, he took Bret aside, who was in WCW at the time, and broke the news to them, and they cried with each other and hugged. Also verifiably wrong. But like, if you're Bret Hart, do you want to like fight that kind of bullshit? Like, this is a dark insight. He knows he can lie about this because it's such a sensitive and awful memory.
Yeah.
And people aren't going to challenge him on it.
Rock was the lead dog over there in WWF, and he didn't cause any problems at all. Shook everybody's hand in the dressing room, looked everybody in the eye, didn't stab anybody in the back. You know, that's one way to do it. The other way is like Hogan does it.
So, Hulk Hogan, a bad lying liar.
Yeah.
Roddy Piper, in contrast, a man who puts on glasses and sees the truth in John Carpenter's They Live.
Yeah. Yes. So Roddy Piper, over the last 24 hours, like everybody, like John Carpenter's come out and been like, he was a friend.
Yeah.
He was my friend, Rowdy Roddy Piper, and I'm going to miss him. Cyndi Lauper's been out saying the same thing. Rowdy Roddy Piper kicked her in the head once.
Yeah.
And she said, I enjoyed every minute with Rowdy Roddy Piper. And Rowdy Piper was not like a saint. He was a guy seriously troubled.
Yeah.
But like, it's quite genuine, the affection coming out, like, from former colleagues. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The Mac from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia did an AMA a while ago where they were like, "Oh, how's Rowdy Piper?" Like, brilliant. We love Rowdy Piper. He's very fun. He's like, weirdly, exactly the same when playing characters as he is when not playing characters. Like, so what about Piper as like the uber example of one of those 80s wrestlers who just ultimately becomes their gimmick? Like, who is Piper if not Rowdy Piper?
Yeah,
is that too profound a question?
I don't know. I mean, like, for me, the question of Rowdy Piper is always, yeah, he kind of became the gimmick, but he also had a kind of a fraught relationship with wrestling. From seeing him in shoot interviews and talking about like really dark experiences that he had in the early days, wrestlers taking advantage of him and not being and getting hyper defensive because of it, and not getting on with people like Hulk Hogan and Vince McMahon, and having to leave the WWE. Like, he seems to have somebody that was never like. The reason a guy like Hogan thrived in wrestling is because he's a scumbag, right? And it's a scumbag business, especially back then. Probably is to a certain extent now.
So you're suggesting Piper's not a scumbag?
Yeah, he's just enough of a scumbag. He was just enough of a scumbag to excel at wrestling. But he had a line at which he couldn't. Because to back up a bit, when I've seen him in shoot interviews, and I found him to be like such a compelling shoot interview. Because a lot of the times those shoot interviews are just you're just gawking at a guy.
Yeah.
It's just New Jack just lying and freaking out. And you're saying, I shouldn't be watching this. This is so intrusive and terrible. But you do.
Yeah.
And with Piper, though, he would reminisce in such a way that was like, you know, I don't know if I would do that now or if I should have done that.
That's when it's not Rowdy, though, isn't it? So whenever you're hearing, so when Piper did his two-parter with Colt earlier this year, it was fun. There was lots of good stuff in it, and there's positive, fun stories. And then he's still Rowdy Piper. That's when he can't separate himself from the gimmick. But then he like falls down out of it when he's relating something hard. It's like, oh, that's just, you're that guy. You're just Rowdy then. It's like there's Rowdy and there's Piper.
Yeah.
And Piper is the guy who's living his gimmick, and Roddy's like a sad man.
Yeah, but it's difficult also, I think, for these guys to separate the two.
Yeah.
Like, that is, like, that should be, that's a healthy demarcation. If you could be, I go to the office and I'm Rowdy Piper and I do all this weird shit. Then I go home to my family and, you know, I'm whatever Rowdy Piper's real name was.
But
I don't know, I don't care to know.
He did have, like, that tragic tale, you know, like his upbringing or whatever. He was moved to an Indian reservation to straighten him out, but he just got beaten up because he was the only white kid, and then like he didn't have a family and he moved around lots of crazy places, and then he became a wrestler when he was really young, and there's implications that he might have been sexually abused both before and after he got into wrestling, and just like this really sad stuff that like you still hear in his voice when he talks about, or when he talked about it recently, which he was like, he was pretty prominent in the sort of internet wrestling community in recent years.
But I guess it's like, if you're in that situation where you've got this sort of, you know, you're not comfortable, like you've got all this stuff you haven't dealt with, like you've got a grim kind of background and a grim real life, and then suddenly you come into this thing and you're on MTV and you're a huge success. Yeah, you'd want to be Rowdy Piper, just be that.
Yeah.
But then that world is so full of carny bullshit and awfulness as well.
Yeah.
And there's like this drag, you know, at some point you want to just live the fantasy, be that fantasy, but that fantasy's tainted. And so then you go back to your real life, but your real life is stuff you have to do. Like, it's, I'd say it's a, like, particularly for that generation where you were meant to be still quite kayfabe about stuff.
Yeah.
It's a serious like mindfuck. Like,
well, Piper is like exposure on social media and internet wrestling community over the last kind of 4 or 5 years, it's been strong, and it's in that time that we've kind of gotten this insight into sad Rowdy Piper. And there's certain kind of people, Hulk Hogan included, who are so married to their gimmick that they're not a real person anymore. They exist as that on social media, And there's no breaking away from that. This is the same guy who asked, can he be called Hulk Hogan in court? And as Carl told us earlier, asked, could he wear a bandana? He was allowed to wear a black bandana. It's pure comedy, but it's also really, really sad as well.
Yeah.
Like, see, Roddy accepted his sadness.
I think that's Hulk it. Doesn't. Because I think, like, I wouldn't say that, like, I mean, we don't know, obviously, from Adam, but, like, I wouldn't say that Rowdy Roddy Piper has been living a sad life these past few years. I'd say some, like some wrestlers obviously have. But I'd say he's got a, I'd say he's probably lived a pretty pleasant life. But it's his relationship with his wrestling legacy and that whole world that has been kind of troubled a little bit. And that's come out. And I think, though, there's a sense of honesty about it. There's a sense of he's living a realistic sort of...
Yeah.
You know, his realistic kind of retirement. And whereas with Hulk Hogan, it's sad because it's just fucking pathetic and weird and like.
It's a little bit like Ric Flair. Whenever I see Ric Flair, he's still Ric Flair, his nature boy, weird gimmick that he stole anyway. But, you know, I just look at him and go, oh, I just want you to
stop
maybe
bleaching your hair. You're
put
70.
Yourself out of your misery. Yeah.
Yeah. Flair.
He's 70. Looks like a bleached raisin. Like, he's disgusting. He looks like he's on the brink of a heart attack at any given moment.
Whereas it's something so sad when you look at it. It's a different type of sad to Piper. You're like, oh, he didn't have all the breaks and he has a slightly sad eyes. But you look at Flair and he doesn't have sad eyes, but the implication of Ric Flair is very sad.
And it's another thing, like, I mean, Piper seemed to live within his means, I guess. Piper would have done, like, the fan circuit, but everybody kind of says, yeah, Piper's a guy you should go and talk to if you're going to a fan convention. He'll just be positive and straight up with you and you'll have a good time. Whereas if you go to, like you've seen Hogan and Flair doing shitty local commercials selling vacuum cleaners in Florida and, like, there's none of that with Piper. Piper cashed in on They Live quite a bit throughout the last few years. But there's never a despair about Roddy Piper. An existential question. He was a guy that was... He had intelligent eyes, I guess.
There's no mauvais foi with Roddy Piper, whereas there is with Hogan. Bad faith?
Yeah. Why? Sart. Mauvais... Okay. Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
Anyway...
bit of sard.
Just brush over that, or will I explain it? No?
Explain.
Yeah.
Right, so this idea of bad faith is like someone who's living their what they're supposed to be seen as rather than who they are. So the classic example that Sarth gave was a waiter who's performing all the waiterly things and does everything as a waiter is supposed to do but is not himself as a waiter.
Mm-hmm.
Like if he was to, you can be a waiter but be yourself kind of thing is the nicest way of putting it. And Roddy Piper can be his gimmick but also be himself, which he was. Whereas Hogan and Flair just are their gimmick and live in this complete world of bad faith where it's not even conscious. It's just a horrible kind of thing that they're tangled in. They'll never get out of it and they don't even realize.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Excellent academic reference. That worked, that worked really well.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Not actually that dumb.
That was great.
Yeah. It's all downhill from here.
Separately, Bret Hart... Best friends with Hulk Hogan? No. Best friends with Roddy Piper? Yes. Or at least he claims it in his autobiography. They present themselves as genuinely, like, really good friends in, like, a not just going out and drinking way, in a, like, if I had to confide in someone kind of way.
Mm.
In, like, the early 90s and late 80s, they were pals.
I think
they're cousins or something as well, I think.
That can't be true.
Yeah.
Hold on, Brett and Piper.
Brett and Piper, yeah.
What?
Yeah, there's some...
How did that not come up?
Okay, well, yeah, maybe it's not... like, I remember that promo before WrestleMania 8, which is a great match. It's just Roddy Piper's best WWE match. But before the match and the promo, Piper's talking about changing Bret Hart's diapers and seeing him running around in Calgary. I'm pretty sure there's some sort of distant family connection.
Stampede, though, I thought.
Yeah, it might have been, but... Anyway, somebody else, somebody tweet us angrily. Clarify.
There was one interview saying the thing going on where I had to build a pillow tag, like a person from our giving you treatment. Hey, you're the man, all that stuff. You know what? No, it's not Hollywood's Wolfpack. You're not in the Wolfpack. We're the Wolfpack.
So, Piper is Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
Was he the best ever Canadian?
Well, I'm going to say Bret Hart was the best ever Canadian because he's the best.
Yeah.
Generally.
Yeah. Okay. Shut that one down. Hulk Hogan, an American.
I see where you're going though.
Is he the greatest ever American? In the sense of performing America.
So Piper doing his Scottish gimmick.
That didn't make any sense.
Okay.
That didn't make any sense at all.
Okay.
Hogan doing America.
Piper's gimmick.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous gimmick. But he never really tried that hard. It was like completely gratuitous bagpipes. It didn't last very long. And then for ages he was just, his gimmick was being Rowdy Roddy Piper. It wasn't like being a guy with a bagpipe. The Piper bit wasn't even nothing to do with bagpipes. It was just, that was his name.
It kind of makes sense to me though. Like if I was a bad guy and I said, I want a musical instrument, it would be the bagpipes.
But that was what it started as in like the territory shows, because they'd be in small halls and bagpipes are really loud and really annoying and you could already play the bagpipes, so it's an automatic heel thing.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, so it's like one of those gimmicks that if you try to explain who is Rowdy Roddy Piper to somebody that knows wrestling as well, there's a wrestling plumber and like Mankind, he's like a serial killer, and The Undertaker, he's a zombie or a wizard. Like, who is Rowdy Roddy Piper? He's just like, well, I mean, you kind of just, he's just a bad guy, but he's a very annoying bad guy, so maybe the bagpipes have something to do. Just watch Roddy Piper. He's kind of like a wrestling original in that sense, you know? You could put, if a wrestler came out wearing a kilt these days, he'd be drawing on some sort of cultural memory of Rowdy Roddy Piper. Yeah. Like, this guy's a villain, he's in a kilt. He's going to be obnoxious. I don't know.
He's not Scottish.
Yeah, he's not Scottish. And so he's not Scottish. Scottish nationalism, not inherently villainous. And then Hulk Hogan, his arch rival, doesn't look like a human being. Doesn't look like a human male. Doesn't look like America. Doesn't look like anything, really.
But is he, like, I want to talk about that performing America thing, like, what Hulk Hogan did not only conformed to the performance of America as it was in like the 80s and the flash rock and wrestling lifestyle stuff, it actually defined what it was to perform. Like, he liked the troops, told kids to take vitamins, also took performance enhancing drugs.
Headbutted the Iraqi flag, I think. Or was it the Russian flag he headbutted? Might have headbutted a few flags.
I don't remember.
I think he headbutted the Soviet flag, and then in his music video he like took a picture of Colonel Gaddafi and like tore it up, and then tore his shirt off. America.
Like, Hulk Hogan is a real American, fights for the rights of every man. What does that mean in the Hulk Hogan?
But not to publish a sex tape or anything inflammatory. That's not a right.
Okay. I'm going to make a roundabout claim here, right? So, Hulk Hogan is, in my opinion, what Vince McMahon pictures wrestlers as being. He's a big cultural whatever, and he lived a celebrity lifestyle, and he spent a lot of money, and now he's in this dark period of celebrity where there's sex tapes coming out and race controversies. He's like a fallen Hollywood star.
Yeah.
Like, he is exactly what Vince McMahon wanted to make him into. And maybe in that sense, let me reach at this a little bit. Maybe in that sense, he is kind of, he's Vince McMahon's idea of what a successful American life is. He's a fucking enormous man, who made a lot of money, didn't care about other people, got to the top and just fucking stayed there, didn't help anybody else. And is now living a life of desperation in the public eye. That is Vince McMahon's view of how you should spend your life if you want to be a success in America.
That is the American life, yeah. Like, what about the idea that Hogan, as the muscular American who is a force for good and not afraid to fight for it, actually encouraged America to go into Iraq in the first Gulf War?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Public sentiment like was on board with the idea of going in and fighting bad, even just because it was bad and it was there.
Mm.
Well, yeah, no, okay. So the two legacies of Hogan wrestling-wise, this is still related to what you're talking about, I think, are, to me, Kurt Angle on the one hand and John Cena on the other. So John Cena has all of that over whatever I'm performing America thing. Kurt Angle actually was America when he came to wrestling. And he's the one who's split off the shitness of what Hulk Hogan was. And he has gone down his crap route and now he's recovering or whatever's going on with Kurt Angle. No one knows CNA, so no one knows. Whereas John Cena is still existing and is all the good shit. And he's still at the top-ish. And he's still doing all this performative. Like, he's just taking up that mantle. And then, so the more recent Gulf War, Iraq War, whatever we want to call it, that made Cena the American guy that he is. Hustle, loyalty, and respect wasn't about being a rapper anymore. It was about being an American guy who supported our troops. And then he became Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, that's weird. First Gulf War is the Hogan War, the second Gulf War is the Cena War.
Yeah, like, do you remember that clip of, I remember putting it on my own Facebook ages ago, just drunk because I thought it was so funny. But it was John Cena, he stands up on like an announce table and he announces to a Raw or a SmackDown or whatever is going on at the time, "I've just been told that our troops have killed Osama bin Laden." Yeah. And it's like, it makes me feel so sick. It's like, you know, you suspend disbelief and you get into wrestling. You're just kind of watching whatever shit there is, even if you go, "Oh, this is shit." You're still just in it a bit. Whereas that is like, get out of this TV. Like, just sit back there and watch John Cena say this really weird thing. Yeah. And that's kind of a very Hogan-y moment for me.
Yeah, that was crazy.
He pauses on the ramp and like salutes as well. And
he's like on the verge of tears.
Yeah,
it's disgusting.
But it was like he played. It came off like Obama's first call once he was sure if the operation was a success was to John Cena.
Do you remember that the first person
please tell in Raw.
The world to say publicly that the US Marines had killed Osama bin Laden was The Rock?
Yeah.
The Rock tweeted about it 10 minutes before the actual CIA release came out. And he's made these weird noises about how, like, he has a cousin who's a Marine or something. Like, he had no legitimate explanation for why he was the first person in the world to know that Osama bin Laden had just been killed.
Are you suggesting that The Rock may have killed Osama bin Laden?
No. The Rock, yeah. Like, his war is, like, covert drone war, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But Hogan and Piper not responsible for any wars.
No.
No. If anything, seems to bring people together.
Yeah.
People, like today, I was just looking through the list of people tweeting their love for Rowdy Roddy Piper. And it was like loads of wrestling people, because they were really nice and actually heartfelt. It wasn't just thoughts and prayers with the family. It was like they all had a great story about Roddy Piper. Or like Zack Ryder was tweeting about, "I remember that time that Roddy Piper smashed a coconut over my head, but it was the best night of my life," kind of thing. And you're going, "Oh, that's really sweet." But loads of non-wrestling people. Like, loads. If Hulk Hogan was to die, say, 2 months ago, you would have had loads of people going, "Oh, I remember watching Hulk on TV when I was a kid." Mm. Like, celebrities, but they didn't know Hulk Hogan. Whereas loads of people know Roddy Piper. So whether that's Ronda Rousey tweeting about how much of an inspiration he was and how great a friend he was, or if it's, like, lads in bands, or people from Always Sunny in Philadelphia, or whatever, they all just had this genuine love for Roddy Piper, which Hogan does not have because he causes wars.
Well, I know one person who is very happy to be photographed with Hulk Hogan very recently. Enda Kenny, the Taoiseach of Ireland. Did you not see that? It was a year ago.
I wish I saw this.
Passed each other in an airport and there's a photo of Enda Kenny with a big grin on his face pointing at Hulk Hogan, and Hogan is just like, "Yeah, brother."
I'm going to find this photo and set up an automatic tweet from the Jumping Nutting account that this goes out every day forever.
And then there was an Irish Times or RTE journalist who was on the plane with Enda Kenny, who tweeted before this thing happened that Hulk Hogan is also on the plane. He's wearing a Hulk Hogan t-shirt.
Piper does that too. So that's not one in the minus column for Hogan, really.
I guess so.
Like, Jim Cornette wears Jim Cornette t-shirts that aren't even produced by Jim Cornette. He buys them off third parties and then wears them.
That's pretty awful.
If someone made a t-shirt about me, I'd wear it.
Yeah.
Would you though?
I mean...
Well, do you know, I'd wear it once. Then I'd...
You'd have to be in a really specific, like, social situation. Like, you couldn't wear it to work, you know?
Well,
you think...
You could.
Pretty egotistical guy, Carl.
It depends on the t-shirt. If it was you, like, topless flexing on the t-shirt, as a lot of wrestling t-shirts are. Oh my god. Oh, right in your flannel.
I deserve that.
Yeah. But if you were doing that, you probably shouldn't wear that t-shirt. A t-shirt of yourself in the nude.
Mm.
Whereas if it was just like, if you had a catchphrase. None of us have catchphrases yet. All the other podcasts have catchphrases.
Oh yeah. I've just contrived. I'm sure we'll come up with a cat. Move for that.
And after I lost my belt to him, Mr. Howard, he come in the locker room. He said, "Shiki baby, I love you. I owe you one." And after that, he never returned my call back.
So you're talking about the legacy of like Roddy Piper. Everyone's talking Roddy Piper. Such a good dude. And like WWE would produce a twee video package of Roddy Piper was one of the most volatile and colorful characters in WWE history. He hit Jimmy Snuka once. Blah, 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 blah. And it'll be, yeah, I mean, yeah. It was fine, but you know, they'll sum up Roddy Piper in such a way. He was a charismatic villain. But his actual legacy is a little bit different, right?
Yeah.
His actual legacy is of also includes, like, They Live. He was a kitschy 80s guy. And unlike, like, if you watch any of Hogan's movies, they're just terrible. And They Live is not a masterpiece by any stretch of the imagination, but it's so, like, it's a beloved movie. Like, it's such a great cult movie. And there's something about, like, I was even watching the tag team. I posted on Facebook last night, the pilot for a buddy cop show he made with Jesse Ventura.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Where there's an actual tag takes place, and they beat a guy up with an Irish whip. That's just the best.
That would have been the greatest show.
How
did Piper end up? Like, Piper puts forth that he's a real actor, which, I mean,
no,
he's not.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't. Jesus Christ, Roddy Piper is dead.
crazy. Carl sobers up.
But like he puts forth that he's an actual actor, and he was in John Carpenter's They Live, a like extremely conceptual B movie.
Yeah.
Whereas all Hogan's movies are the kind of movies that John Cena would be in, right?
Yeah.
Like the best one he was ever in was Rocky, and that's not because of him.
Yeah, and it wasn't really. That's not like a. He wasn't starring in Rocky III or whatever it was. Yeah, but I mean, it was the same thing with Jesse Ventura. Jesse Ventura always claims to be an actor. He's kind of done a little bit more than Piper. Like, he's a Predator, but they're both guys that were just like they were in a couple of movies, and then they were in like guest roles on TV, and that's about it.
Piper claims to have written his own catchphrase from They Live.
Well, I don't know. I can't verify that.
He said it. Yeah.
He told Colt, right? He was like, yeah, they were like, oh, you need to say a cool line now. What are you going to say? And he went, I'm here to kick ass and chew bubblegum. And I'm all out of bubblegum. But that's outrageous. He definitely didn't just come up with that on the spot. Like, that was in the script.
Yeah, I'd be very skeptical about that.
So, if I have a question. If Hulk Hogan is supposed to be the 80s, is Roddy Piper actually the 80s? So, you know the 80s guy out of Futurama?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he's the 80s guy, business kind of flashy type of thing. But, like, culturally, Piper is the 80s, isn't he? And Hogan just isn't. Hogan's the attempt at what the 80s thought it was.
But Piper is what the 80s produced. Like, I don't know the difference between an id and a superego movie. He's one of those. And Hogan is the other one. Like, as the 80s started and it was still this monoculture, Hogan was the totem of the monoculture that brought in, like, rock and nationalism and tried to bring squareness and coolness into one weirdly shaped block.
Yeah, Hogan is the superego, rather, of the 80s.
And then Piper is, like, the nascent counterculture, sort of, off on the other side. like wearing tartan was kind of cool for a while in the early 90s.
Mm.
It was a grunge thing. That's Rowdy Roddy Piper. He did that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously none of us were around in the 80s, but it feels like there was just no kind of counterculture. Like, there was counterculture in the 90s.
Yeah.
Counterculture, obviously, in the 70s and the 60s. And he kind of, yeah, he just sort of felt, he's felt a little bit, Rowdy Piper felt a little bit more authentic and a little bit out of place in what we think about, when we think about the 80s. Like, he was still a, like, he felt more like a late 70s kind of wrestler. And again, and his plot, his whole plot was, I'm going to kick Cyndi Lauper right in the fucking head. because I don't like her music to this extent.
Yeah.
Shoot
on Mr. T. That was great. That's one of the best arcs of Rowdy Piper's life. That he got booked against Mr. T, then genuinely took against Mr. T.
Yeah. So there's maybe a bit more. Maybe he's just a more authentic. He's definitely the highest ranking authentic wrestler. Or the highest ranking. He had experiences authentic to what it was like to be a wrestler in the 80s. That wasn't Hulk Hogan. That wasn't right at the top. Because Vince McMahon will tell you, Hulk Hogan is what wrestling was in the 80s. Loads of money and, you know, being in movies and flying on private jets. Whereas Roddy Piper seemed to be just one of the guys. He, as you put it, he left the territory a couple of times in the 80s. And, yeah, he made a lot of money and he kind of got swept up in a bit of a boom period, but wrestlers were never financially secure people. They never have been, they never will be. They were never the megastars Vince McMahon claimed, as maybe Hogan was. And I guess he was kind of, if you were like, I'm going to be a wrestler, make a success of it, Roddy Piper is realistically how far you could aspire to, because you were never going to be America in the eyes of Vince McMahon the way Hulk Hogan was.
Yeah.
So, maybe there's something to that. I don't know.
There is something sort of more relatable about Piper. Piper is like, if I made all the right decisions or the wrong decisions or whatever, Piper is where I would get to, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
And you can't be Hogan.
Yeah. Hogan and is, Piper regrets some of the things that got him to where he was. Like, he'd never go into it. It was just like, he'd just say, yeah, I was in this territory and, you know, I've got a few regrets. I made sure to befriend the right people, but some of those guys worked really, like.
Is that
Roddy Piper in a shoot interview would say, yeah, I got to where I was, but, you know, I had to make sacrifices along the way and I had to fuck some people over along the way and I regret it now and some people fucked me along the way. Whereas Hulk Hogan is fucking coming up with bullshit like, yeah, I had to take it from Andre. I had to fucking earn my stripes and I earned them and I'm the best. And that's a lie.
Yeah.
So is Hulk Hogan WWE essentially, and not just even in the 80s? He is that company that just romanticizes its own history and lies about it and completely invents it effectively.
Yeah, and it's not just like WWE is just Vince McMahon, his vision for his view on the world is what it is. And Vince McMahon is a horribly fucked up individual. And to the same extent that John Cena is now, though John Cena seems to have a more realistic view of his place in the world.
Yeah.
But Hulk Hogan was Vince McMahon's fantasy of a human being. And he was, and his whole company is his fantasy, supporting Hulk. Like WWE at the time was just supporting this Hulk Hogan fantasy.
Yeah.
And that was just, he's just like, he's a byproduct of Vince McMahon having terrible, terrible psychological issues that he's never worked out that bore Hulk Hogan into the world and the WWE in general.
I think it's kind of like a stop to clock is right twice a day thing with Hogan. Like, because Hogan as WWE and that as America and the world all happened in that moment in the 80s because just coincidentally it was the right time. And now WWE is way more out of sync with what culture actually is. But then it wasn't. Then it was like an actual part of popular culture, which is mad.
Yeah,
it was for a long time, even through the Attitude Era, and it was only kind of after that, in the kind of mid-noughties maybe, that it just fell off and didn't have a connection with pop culture anymore. It wasn't like representing things that were going on at the same time in the world, nor was it referenced by the world.
Yeah. But I mean, even in the Attitude Era, like, The Undertaker and Stone Cold Steve Austin were famous, but they were famous as, like, wrestlers, whereas Piper and Hogan were, like, pop culture figures of the stature of, like, Stallone and people like
that. Yeah, they were on MTV, and MTV wanted to have them. Whereas when the Attitude Era was big, it was kind of, like, it was obviously extremely popular. It was always this countercultural thing. It's the stuff that your parents didn't want you to watch if you're watching as a teenager.
Yeah.
And it was on, it was talked about in the same breath as, like, that those first couple of seasons of South Park, which were so kind of offensive to people.
Mm.
And so what people shouldn't be, you know, watching at night. And, like, it was always, that was, the Attitude Era in the 90s was counterculture for about 2 years. And then Vince McMahon didn't want anything to do about it, with it, because his father would never have appreciated Vince McMahon, the countercultural artist. His father would have appreciated Vince McMahon, the man that started and then won the Gulf War.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's why that died. Because Vince McMahon, it just comes back to Vince McMahon's terribly awful view of the world and himself in it.
And on a personal note to Hulk Hogan, you are a household word, but so is garbage, and it stinks when it gets old too. I'm Jim Cornette, and that's my opinion.
I think we've gotten lost in the same awful psychological morass that the wrestling business is. And that's why it fucks up everybody that gets involved in it. Because it is a tough thing to figure out.
Yeah.
It's so illogical at times and so, like, on the pulse by accident at times.
So is it nice to think now, even though it's horrible that Roddy Piper has died, is it nice to be left with these nice memories of him? Or this general nice feeling of him? Which we won't ever have with someone like Hulk Hogan.
He has, like, an almost spotless legacy, I'd say. Like, if a wrestling fan thinks of Roddy Piper, it's almost entirely positive.
Mm.
Like, he's not an amazing in-ring technician. That's maybe the blot stopping him from being, like...
And he refused to lose for about 20 years or whatever.
Yeah, but people don't care. People think that's fine.
Yeah.
Whereas when Hogan refuses to lose, like, people... Things that Hogan didn't do, people blame Hogan for. Like, that must have been Hogan. That must have been in-ring politics caused by Hulk Hogan. Yeah.
I don't think Roddy Piper ever straight up ruined something important the way Hogan, like, ruined Hogan versus Sting in WCW in 97, where he told, it was meant to be a corrupt ref fast count, and Hogan told the ref just count it normally. And then just now the match doesn't make any fucking sense at all. And the match, I mean, he just didn't put in the fucking effort in this biggest match in WCW's history. There's never a point where, like, so a lot of Roddy Piper's matches are bad, but they're bad because he attempted to do something incredibly stupid in them. Like, he made an effort and it was ludicrous.
Yeah.
Whereas Hogan, just a guy that never did make an effort almost all of his career. But let's wrap this up in an incredibly negative way.
Yeah.
So Roddy Piper, sorry?
Follow us on Twitter.
But Roddy Piper dies, outpouring of genuine affection for this guy.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan dies. We'll get the usual, my thoughts with Hulk Hogan's family. In your heart of hearts, when you're doing that on Twitter, you're like, oh, such a shame, Hulk Hogan. He was important, I guess. What you really want to tweet is, fuck Hulk Hogan. He was a net negative, and he was a liar and a scumbag, and I'm sad that he outlived all these other people I enjoyed. That's what you really want to... That's when Hulk Hogan kicks it, that's what you really want to say, right?
It's yeah. Since, like, Warrior was terrible, he's worse than Hogan, but, like, Savage died, Dusty died, Piper has died, like, that generation of guys that we think fondly upon are dying. Hogan's still there, and it's bad. Like, are we openly now saying that we wish Hulk Hogan would die?
I don't know if you can openly wish that.
Yeah, let's not do that.
You're kind of fate. Yeah. It's more a case of, like, if you were down at the docks at night and you're on your own, you're wearing a big trench coat so nobody can see you, and you spot Hulk Hogan out in the bay, sort of drowning.
Yeah.
Saying, is anybody out there? Throw me a life preserver. Don't know how he got down there. Doesn't really matter. He's still got his shoes on, so he can't really swim.
And then the scene just cuts and you read in a local newspaper, man found drowned in bay. And yeah. You're like, oh.
Yeah. And your wife is there with, like, her apron. He's making you breakfast. And I saw that wrestler you, like, drowned last night. Isn't that terrible? And you knowingly put on your glasses, like, yes, terrible shame.
Okay, so
racism is wrong. Your daughter can fuck whoever she wants. Follow us on Twitter at Jumping Nothing.
Yeah, SoundCloud always has the most recent episode, and one or two before that. Subscribe on iTunes for everything direct to your podcatcher or iTunes.
I guess thanks, Carl, for kind of waking up at some point and doing more hosting stuff. It was a subtle transition, but I really appreciated it.
No problem.
Thanks, Michael, for having us.
Oh yeah, that's no problem at all. We record this in sunny Stockwell on a Saturday.
And thanks, Carl, for reorganizing your day to compensate for the fact that I was 2 hours and 15 minutes late to do this.
That's fine, Carl. It's been a pleasure.
Good morning. Just 19 hours after the expiration of the UN deadline, George Bush announced that the liberation of Kuwait had begun and unleashed the full weight of U.S. military might on Iraq.
I report to you, air attacks are underway against military targets in Iraq. We are determined to knock out Saddam Hussein's nuclear bomb potential. We will also destroy his chemical weapons facilities. Much of Saddam's artillery and tanks will be destroyed. Our operations are designed to best protect the lives of all the coalition forces by targeting Saddam's vast military arsenal. Initial reports from General Schwarzkopf are that our operations are proceeding according to plan.
Though there's been no official declaration, this country's at war with Iraq. Operation Desert Storm is in progress today, Thursday, January the 17th, 1991.
From NBC News, this is a special edition of Today, America at War. Now, here are Bryce Gumbel and Deborah Norville.
And good morning. Welcome to a special edition of Today on a Thursday morning, one that finds this country at war with Iraq.
And probably not having had a lot of sleep last night. I don't know anyone who didn't stay up most of the night.
A lot of people who are watching. We're on an hour early this morning to bring you up to speed on Operation Desert Storm. It ceased to be Desert Shield. White House spokesman Marlon Fitzwater read a presidential statement announcing that the liberation of Kuwait had begun. That was at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. By then, the first of many missiles and bombs were already striking Baghdad. While the exact number of planes involved in that first wave has not been specified, it did involve several hundred sorties in the forces of not only the United States, but also Great Britain, Saudi Arabia, and Kuwait. And if it can be agreed that the shooting qualifies as bad news, the good news is that while losses were expected to run very high in the early going, preliminary reports indicate relatively light Iraqi resistance. At this hour, Baghdad Radio is claiming that Iraqi forces brought down 14 warplanes. That's a claim the Pentagon has labeled ridiculous. The first explosion shook Baghdad in the dawn hours as bombers came in under cover of darkness. Only now are we beginning to get scattered reports of just how much damage has already been inflicted on Saddam's strategic locations. And so we begin this morning by checking in with our correspondents around the world who've been up through the night charting developments. Let's start in Dhahran, Saudi Arabia, with Arthur Kemp. Good morning, Arthur. What's going on there?
Good morning, Brian. Well, the air is scrambling. It's still going on. We just want...